He patted Stug's head fondly.
Nothing worse than a starfish, Doctor. You stay here. Keep your eyes and ears open and lay low. I'll go and find us a snug berth for the night.
He pulled a sack from under his cloak, tossing it to his son.
Sort through the rest of those rations and see what you want for supper. I'll be back soon.
Abrook knew the woods well. He recalled a spot not too far off. It was a good dry place, sheltered by a rock ledge. Silent as a night breeze, he weaved his way through the dark, twisted trees, straight to the exact location. He had camped there before. Halting slightly short of his destination, he paused. Something did not feel quite right about the area. Abrook sniffed the air and listened carefully, his animal instinct aroused. He caught the faint sound of ragged breathing. Drawing his long dagger, he crept forward, peering keenly into the shadows, his neck hairs bristling. For supper, Stug had selected two flat loaves, some of his mamma's apple and blackberry preserve, and their last flask of plum cordial. If his father lit a fire, they could make toasted preserve sandwiches and warm cordial. The young otter was a pretty fair cook, often having helped his mamma to prepare meals. There was not much else to do but wait in silence for his father's return. Stug set out the food and sat next to the basket of supplies. Abrook came speeding out of the darkness to his son's side. Crouching beside Stug, he gripped his paws tightly. The sea otter's voice was urgent and breathless from running.
Listen carefully, little mate. Could you find your way back home to our hall on your own?
Stug was taken aback by the unusual request.
I think so. What's the matter, Farder?
Abrook gripped his son's paws tighter. His voice sounded harsh.
Answer me, yes or no. Could you find your way back home?
Stug had never seen his father like this. He nodded, his own voice sounding small and scared.
Yes, Stug knowed the way.
Abrook released the young otter's paws.
Good. Now here's what you must do, son. Find Shore Dog. Tell him to bring the crew to the spot by the rock ledge. He'll know where I mean. Say that they best bring rope, canvas and poles. Enough to make a stretcher to carry a wounded joint striped dog. That's if he's still alive when they reach here.
Words poured from Stug's mouth like running water.
A giant striped dog? A wounded one? I never see a giant striped dog afore. What happened? Will he get deaded?
Abrook grabbed Stug and shook him, something he had never done before. He hissed at him through clenched teeth.
Shut your mouth, son. Don't stand here asking questions. Go now. Run. Don't stop for anything. The life of another creature depends on you. Go!
Young Stug took off like a mad beast, pine needles scattering from under his paws as he tore homeward through the nighttime forest. Abrook watched until his son was out of sight, then gathered up their belongings and dashed back to the camp beneath the ledge. Swiftly, he heaped dry pine needles and cones with a few twigs. Using the steel of his knife blade against a chunk of flint, he soon had a small fire burning. It was sheltered by the overhanging rock and could not be seen from a reasonable distance. Abrook viewed the scene around him. Two badgers, one very old, the other about two seasons into his adult growth, lay stretched out, side by side. Small and grizzled, the oldest of the pair was obviously dead, slain by various weapon thrusts. As he turned to the younger badger, a brief glance at the churned-up ground and the blood-flecked rock confirmed the sea otter's suspicions, his jaw clenched angrily.
Dirty murdering raiders!
The younger badger was still alive. Abrook had seen one or two badgers in his lifetime, but not as big as this fellow. He was truly a giant, tall, deep of chest and broad-backed, with massive paws and powerfully muscled limbs. The sea otter winced as he inspected the fearsome wound to the badger's head. A long, jagged slash from ear tip to neck had ripped across the badger's face. Narrowly missing the eye, it had ploughed across the brow, through the wide-striped muzzle, across the jawline to the side of the creature's throat. Abrook, with only a limited knowledge of healing, staunched the blood with his cloak. Lifting the badger's head, he cradled it in his lap, dabbing away at the dreadful rift and murmuring to the unconscious beast.
Season's a salt, mate. 'Tis a miracle you're still alive. You must have a skull made of rock. I know you can't hear me, but don't worry, big fella. Our crew will do the best we can for you. There's one or two good healers at our hall.
Abrook sat rambling away to the senseless badger, knowing he could do little else until help arrived.